I will be talking about the basic building block of many of the computer-generated hologram algorithms, that is light propagation in a free space. And I will mostly talk about the problems that are connected with angular spectrum decomposition method. So before I start with the angular spectrum decomposition, problem. Okay, I will be here. Great. Before I start with the angular spectrum decomposition, let us have a look at the problem formulation by the Rayleigh-Sommerfeld diffraction integral of the first kind. The situation is that we have complex amplitudes of the light in the plane z is equal to zero, and we are interested in a complex amplitude of the light somewhere in the space in a point x, y, z. And Rayleigh-Sommerfeld's method states that the complex amplitude can be easily calculated as an integral. We take the complex amplitudes in the source plane, multiply every complex amplitude with a certain function called Rayleigh-Sommerfeld kernel, and just integrate it together. This integral can be rewritten in another form that is called angular spectrum decomposition, and it is perfectly mathematically equivalent to the Rayleigh-Sommerfeld integral. The principle is that we just take the complex amplitude in the source plane, Fourier transform them, multiply them with certain function called transfer function, and take inverse Fourier transform of it. That's all. These two formulas are perfectly equivalent, so it should be clear that whatever method we take, we should get the same results. Sadly, it is not so simple. It's not true if we are not careful enough. And before I start to discuss the problems with the angular spectrum decomposition, let's review the problems that are connected in Rayleigh-Sommerfeld, because they are much easier to grab, and once we know where the problems are, we'll switch to angular spectrum decomposition. The Rayleigh-Sommerfeld integral can be rewritten in a convolution form, that is, we just take the complex amplitudes in the source plane and convolve it in the spatial domain with a certain function h that is just grabbed from the inside of the integral. And in the future, we will compute this convolution using Fourier transforms. How does the convolution actually work? The function h, that is the convolution kernel, just describes how a single point light source illuminates the space around. And taking the convolution is just taking point by point and summing them together, or integrate if you want. And that's all. Let us switch to a particular problem we would like to solve. We know the complex amplitudes is in a certain limited rectangular area called source in the plane z is equal to zero, and we are interested in complex amplitudes of the light in certain part of a plane z is equal to z zero, and both of these parts are limited. It's important we have to stick with limited parts of the plane in numerical calculations. Because we are interested in just limited parts, it is clear that we don't need to know the function h in the whole space. We just need to know a small wedge, like this, to calculate the target area. How big should this wedge be? Okay, when we look at the convolution approach, this wedge is again shifted up and up and up, and it's clear that the wedge should be as big, so the shifting spans the whole target area, not less and possibly not more. Why? In discrete calculations, we would like to use fast Fourier transforms. And fast Fourier transforms can, in fact, work just if the functions involved are periodic. So what we need to do if we want to numerically calculate the propagation, we need to make the source plane periodic, that is to replicate the original source area we know. This replication has to be done with the gaps, but because the wedge we are using for our transfer, for the impulse response of the space, is spatially limited, we can make these replicas separated by a gap or gaps, and these gaps are so big that the light that is coming from the replica does not hit the target area. That's all. So the important thing here is the kernel of the convolution has to be spatially limited. Let us look at some example, or before I start with the example, in the convolution, we would like to use the Fourier transform or fast Fourier transform, if you want. And this is why we need to carry these periodicities at all. Okay, I think that the right screen is better because here you can see some aliasing that is introduced somewhere in the wires. As a source plane, let us take a diffraction grating composed of vertical slits and propagate it to a distance of, say, 300 millimeters. The convolution kernel in the spatial domain looks like this, okay? And if I step two slides back, you can see that the convolution can be calculated by taking Fourier transform of this convolution kernel. So we should be interested as well in the Fourier transform of this function. This is it. In angular spectrum decomposition, the formula looks almost the same. But instead of calculating Fourier transform of some function like in Rayleigh-Sommerfeld approach, we just multiply the Fourier transform of the source directly by function capital H that is known in analytical form. Let us look at the function capital H. This is it. And this image should be, step two slides back, exactly like this. But it is not the case. We see a lot of replicas here that are not intended to be there. Where is the problem? The problem is that in a Rayleigh-Sommerfeld convolution, we have stated that the convolution kernel has to be spatially limited. So it follows that if we want to calculate this Fourier transform directly in angular spectrum decomposition, we have to use some transfer function that is, in fact, Fourier transform of this spatially limited function. But sadly, we do not know this function in analytical representation, and I doubt there is some. So, how to solve the problem? The limitations in spatial and frequency domains are somehow connected. If the function is spatially limited in one domain, it is frequency limited in another domain. So, if we want to take Fourier transform of a function that is spatially limited in spatial domain, we have to frequency limit it frequency domain. and frequency limitation can be easily calculated using digital low-pass filtering. So in fact, we just calculate the function capital H, frequency limit it, and that's all. And the image we have now is very similar to that one that we obtained in Rayleigh-Sommerfeld convolution. We can look at the results. In Rayleigh-Sommerfeld convolution, we get this propagation result. If we take unmodified angular spectrum decomposition approach, we get something that looks quite weird. But in this filtered angular spectrum decomposition method, the image looks pretty the same like the reference one calculated with Rayleigh-Sommerfeld convolution. So, are the problems solved? Sadly, not. Let's have a look at the case where the propagation distance is very small. In this case, the transfer function that is calculated does not contain any high frequencies as well, in the frequency range we are interested in this rectangle. So the digital low-pass filtering does not take any effect. So maybe we can say we are happy with that, but let's have a look, just to make sure that we are correct, to Rayleigh-Sommerfeld convolution again. In Rayleigh-Sommerfeld convolution approach, we need to calculate the function H in spatial domain again. And, this is not supposed to be there. Again, we see some replicas of the circles that should not be there. So there is an aliasing problem, but where does it come from? The problem is that in the original formula, we take double integral and we calculate the propagation of light that is coming from continuous distribution of point light sources. But in fact, in discretized version, we replace the integrals by double sum, and in this case, we are actually calculating the light that is leaving discrete point light sources. And this replacement can be hardly seen in a big distance, but makes a huge difference in a close distance or in off-axis case. So what we need to do? We need to assume that one sample in the discretized version is in fact some elementary area of non-zero size that illuminates the space around. And if we assume that, we have to somehow filter out the kernel that is used in the convolution. And if we filter it, we get this function in spatial domain that looks much better. And this will be our reference. If we look at the function convolution kernel in the frequency domain, we obtain this result. And if we compare this to the transfer function that is calculated from the angular spectrum decomposition, you can see that the images are quite similar, but definitely not the same. So where is the problem? The filtering that is involved in Rayleigh-Sommerfeld method can be accomplished using oversampling, that is taking more samples than needed, then filtering, downsampling, and then finally the convolution. And these steps have to be replicated in frequency domain as well. Oversampling in spatial domain is equivalent to frequency range extension in frequency domain. The filtering in spatial domain is equivalent to some sort of multiplication in frequency domain. Now the tricky part, downsampling in spatial domain is equivalent to frequency bands folding in frequency domain. And the last part, the convolution, that is the part that we can take right now. It is the filtering and multiplication in frequency domain. This filtering is that low-pass filtering I introduced in the first part of the talk. If we take all of these steps, now we can calculate the transfer function in frequency domain like this. And if we compare it to the reference Rayleigh-Sommerfeld version, we get this. So these images are not the same, but pretty much the same. In spatial domain, the Rayleigh-Sommerfeld kernel looks like this, and the one that is taken as the inverse Fourier transform from the angular spectrum decomposition looks, again, very, very similar. Look at the results. The reference, Rayleigh-Sommerfeld version, is here. Here, you can see unmodified angular spectrum. It is not so bad, but notice the central part that is much, much darker than in the reference version. And if we introduce the aliasing, we get, again, the result that is very similar to the reference one. Maybe that this forced aliasing can be strange at the first sight, but let's have a look. Let's have a closer look if the aliasing really matters. For example, let's take a function that will serve as a complex amplitude of the light and sample it with a certain period. So we get 1, j, minus 1, minus j, and so on, and so on. And if we are interested in intensity only, that then we can see that the intensities are just ones, so it's fine. If we take samples of this function much rougher, three times more rough, then the sampling will be definitely aliased. But the intensity, there are just ones. It's good. If we want to sample this function with a rough sampling period properly, we'd have to filter it to take pre-filtering, that is to remove high frequencies. But if we remove high frequencies, we just get zeros, nothing else. And the intensities, and we are in holography interested in intensities very often, the intensities are completely destroyed. So in fact, if we are interested in intensities only, then some sort of aliasing does not matter at all. And I think that it is quite everything I wanted to say. I've introduced the procedures, the steps that are needed for discretization of the angular spectrum decomposition method. The method relies on two additional filtering and provides correct results. Of course, there are some drawbacks. The main drawback is that the calculation is slower. But the point is that you can tweak this filtering and to balance precision you want and the speed of the calculation. That's all. So I think that it's pretty much it all, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Any questions from the audience? Well, I have one question, which is, have you actually applied this in analyzing any of the commonly used methods?
I'm going to. Not yet. Yes.
It kind of looks like there's some sort of a side lobe underneath the main lobe right there. Is that an aliasing? No.
You up above.
This one.
Right here.
Yeah.
Is that some sort of an aliasing effect or?
This one not. Okay. The right part, that circles, okay, could seem as an aliasing, but in fact, They are intended to be there to provide correct result.
Okay.
It seems strange, but it's the result.
Thank you again.
Thank you.